curious how you met. Because I think that's a sweet, sweet one.
Sure. I was told to behave myself because I have two daughters in here, and it's going to be difficult, but I'm going to do my best. So we actually met in college. I still remember the first day that I saw her. She was a freshman, I was a sophomore, and there was this long, she used to have long dark hair, wearing the yellow shorts and very tan. She was from South Florida, and that was my first recollection of her. And, you know, we really became great friends in college before we even started dating. We had the same friend groups and got married and then started attending Emmanuel here in 1983. We have three...
Actually, you started attending.
In 1982.
Yep.
And it was actually her mom and dad and her older sister that I drove up to Geneva College.
Because they went to Geneva too.
We all went to same college.
Yeah, so we've known each other for more than 40 years. Kind of all in the family here. And, you know, we have three children, Dara, who's here, Nathan and Seth. Nathan, who's Mary Beth's husband, and then Seth is our middle guy. He's actually the IT director here at Emmanuel Bible Church. And what else do we need to say?
That's great.
Well done.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll
okay.
We also went to Geneva College, and we also started dating there. Diana's a little bit younger than I am, so she came up with her sister, and I thought, she's cute and she's a lot of fun. So we hit it off pretty well. We got married before there was a sanctuary here at Emmanuel, and so we got married in Falls Church. And
There was just the gym here.
Yeah. And so Diana's been here at the church for about 4 or 5 years. She was in...
No more than that.
She's been...
I was a military kid, so we moved here when I was going into middle school. So there you have it. Yeah. I'm a little...
We're giving her wear.
Yeah. That was just, you know, 20 years ago.
And so it's coming up on 40 years for me, and I look out and I see a number of you guys that were in youth group when I worked in the youth group. Diana and I before we even got married, we got recruited in by Steve Holly and Kathy Holly for work with youth group. So we did that for a good long time until Diana went into children's ministry, and I stayed in youth where I was comfortable. But
then you went back to children's ministry.
And I went back to children's ministry. And now I'm in an endless loop. I go first grade, second grade, third grade, back to first.
We have two kids. We have a son who and his wife Elise, they go here to Emmanuel, and they have two little girls, and Elise is one of the actors in Union Station, and they met here at Emmanuel Christian School when they were in elementary school. And then we have a daughter who lives in Pennsylvania, has two boys, so we have four grandkids, two boys, two girls.
So we did give away the age just a little.
Yes,
grandkids. But thank you guys for being here tonight and for all of your decades of service. It really is extraordinary, and Emmanuel is a special place. And I know when you guys, they've had some time to think on these questions and prepare. And and to think back to when you had littles, I mean, there are like 10 little babies in this room tonight, which is honestly so sweet. It is a healthy, booming church. And we will get to intimacy questions later, but we'll hold off for a minute. But what did communication and expectations look like when littles joined your lives in that season, or things specifically that you think back to?
We were talking out in the hall just even before we came here, just the four of us. Bethany actually was already kind of engaged with something here, and we kind of talked a little bit. And I think probably communication was help. And I don't know that we had any grand, we were trying to figure out. I mean, you know, you're in the in the trenches, and so you don't really know. And now that we look back on it, and as we got going along after, you know, our kids were you know, got a little bit several years older and possibly even into preschool, I feel like we started getting in a rhythm. The early years were such a blur. There's, you know, you're sleep deprived, you're trying to figure out getting them to, you know, like on routines and that, and then maybe having a second one and those kinds of things, that it was kind of a little, and I'm just gonna say there wasn't any grand strategy. I mean, I think we were just trying to figure it out and really working to try to communicate the best we could. And I mean, I would say that, you know, God was incredibly full of grace with us, because it wasn't any, it was not gonna be anything that could be written in a book about how we kind of started it all off. But, you know, God is, you know, really graceful with us, for sure.
And I think too, you know, with our age, you know, our dads were not engaged the way in the kids' lives the way that we were, and then our children as they growing up. So you're benefiting from those years. You know, my dad never changed a diaper in his life with five kids, and so things really have changed a lot, and a lot of it's the conversations that we've had. We really, you know, as a guy who's, you know, you're going to work every day and you're thinking that's what your major job is, and then all of a sudden you're thrown in with kids, and okay, what am I supposed to do? And unless there's that conversation and saying, why don't you do this? Let me take this, you do that, and we'll split up the things we need to be done. It's completely different now. And the opportunity that I appreciated was the opportunity to be able to do some of that. You know, I think sometimes we think, oh, well, the guys don't want to help, they don't. It's like, no, maybe they don't know how to help yet or whatever. And if that conversation happens and you can explain to them, this is what you need to do, it definitely moves things along, and your expectations of them and their expectations of what you want from them, it doesn't happen just, you know, through the air. It's, you gotta have those conversations. So
one of the things I appreciate that Bethany did for me is let me grow at my own rate. Sometimes I felt like I had to like read her mind, like to know what to do. So don't do that to your
husband.
but you know, after a while, we could communicate these things. You know, this is what I need to do, and it was really helpful that, you know, she didn't. I put more expectation on myself than she did, and she allowed me to grow not only as a husband and a father, but like a spiritual leader in the home. And so I would, you know, encourage you guys to encourage your husbands every time you can, and not always point out the things that they're not doing, but encourage those things that they are doing. That can be very helpful to us as husbands, because you know what, we're trying to figure it out too. You know, we got married when at 22 and 23, and you know, like they said, there's no book that you follow for this. You know, a lot of it is, you know, understanding your own relationship and how each of you can work with each other.
And I think for me, I mean, I didn't even know, like I said, I didn't even know specifically what I would really need. You know what I mean? I just knew. I mean, he's like trying to like figure it out. I'm like, I don't know. All I know is I'm losing it. You know what I mean?
and all we know is we're in trouble.
And I mean, you know, I mean, there were definitely times it was I am by nature a very happy and easygoing person until I was a parent. And I mean, I didn't know that I was going to be so stressed. I didn't know I was going to be so stressed out. I didn't know that I was going to be such a perfectionist. I didn't know that I was going to struggle with anger. I mean, I didn't have any of those struggles until I was a parent. And so I'm pretty much trying to figure out, like, who in the wide world of sports is this person? And he's trying to figure out, I thought I married a happy person. I thought, well, like, what happened to the happy person? And I'm trying to figure out what happened to the happy person, too. But, you know, it's not easy, you know, raising a person, you know what I mean, who you're trying to figure out. And yet I had a son first. I'm not a man, I'm not a boy, and so trying to, you know, manage that. I mean, there were times that he would come home and I truly would put myself in time out, because he'd just go, "Where are you?" And I'm like, "In the corner." Just because I needed to have time out for it. And so just trying to even figure out myself. But I think that's really where, man, how God used that to change me into the person he wants me to be. You know, I mean, if it wasn't for those things, life would have been really easy. But we don't grow in easy times. We only grow in hard times. And I mean, if you're not crying out for Jesus, you're doing it wrong. I mean, you know what I mean? It God gives us these challenges because he wants to grow us and change us. And he wanted us to grow as a couple and learn together too as well. So
one of the things that Dave and I were talking about communication too is that when our kids were real little, I was the one more at home, and a lot sometimes we would, and we'll get into this, you know, Dave had a demanding job and worked a lot of hours, but we would have a phone call like on the way home. You know, like I would, you know, he would get updates like on, you know, how the day had gone and like
what I need to take care of.
But yeah, talking into, you know, which I think was, you know, really helpful for him and, you know, helpful for me to be able to I could rarely reach him in the day. Until 10 years ago, his office was always in the skip, which means I couldn't reach him. So, so we would, a lot of times when he was in town, we would have like debrief calls on the way home. And I mean, there were other times we'd have, you know, we'd set aside for communication, but that was really helpful for him as he walked in and for me, you know, to kind of let him know.
So I'm gathering the husbands can't read minds, and it's good to communicate. And I've heard that from a couple mentors. I know Ingrid and Chris said that to us a while back, of a phone call on the way home. If something big happened in the day, it was a long way for Dad walking in so that he's prepared. And you kind of mentioned discipline, you know, who you have to deal with when you walk in. What did discipline practices look like between the two of you, or how did you guys handle that as couples?
I think it's really important that you have a conversation about how you're going to handle certain things that are going to be happening with your kids, because you need to be prepared. Your children are sinful. They will disobey. They will hit their sibling. They will say no. They will do all those things. And nobody had to teach them that. They just do it. And I think it's just important to have each other's back to decide what you guys, however you're going to handle that. I think that moms, you can't just say wait till Dad gets home and takes care of it, because it needs to be taken care of in the moment. But there also needs to be reinforcement when Dad comes home too as well, to have that follow up teachable, and you know, talking about what expectations are. So I think that's probably important.
You know, in our family, it was expected that I would do discipline if I was home. But as Diana said, I mean, you know, if something's got to be taken care of right away, you know.
A two-year-old will not understand
right,
that.
They're not
why
understand
they're being
delayed.
Disciplined for something they did in the morning at 5 o'clock at night. So.
Yeah, but the whole continuity thing was really important, you know, because you know, you have to pick your battles and you have to win decisively. And the problem at that age is it's got to be consistent. You know, the consistency part is what's going to drive you crazy and exhaust you. And so making sure that, you know, we're both on the same team with that was really important. That's those debrief calls and understanding what I had to do. You know, and you know what? If you've got more than one, you have two different, you know, things to discipline, two different ways. Dara, I could raise my voice with her and she would comply. The boys, not so much. You know, we had one strong-willed guy that, you know, if he wasn't so cute as a toddler, we would have killed him. He was hard, but you know, he's a great kid now, you know, and so that consistency, man, we know how hard that is. But being on the same page together is really, really important. And you just have to talk to your husbands and say, you know, this is what we need to do. You know, we've got to have a combined front here.
I also think it's really important that I mean, you know, you have to teach your children what you expect from them. I mean, they don't just automatically know that, and it starts from really early, and it's all the time, repeating what the expectations are, and that they have a choice to obey. And if you don't obey, then this is what's gonna happen, whatever you guys choose to do. But you know, it is exhausting, and you need to decide what those things are going to be. You can't be everything. I will say that, you know, with our first, I mean, I punished way too much. I mean, there was just a lot of punishment happening. I mean, and so I needed to pare it back and say, these are the things, you know what I mean? I mean, you know, wanting, you know, punishment was not gonna change a heart either. So, you know, and that's where prayer comes in. You know, you can, it's important to have expectations and to have consequences, but prayer is what really matters in that regard.
And the whole thing, I think that Dave was talking about being consistent is because, and being on the same page, because what does your kid do? You know, if he doesn't like what mom said, he's gonna go to dad. And if you're not on the same page, it's like, oh, you know, why are you doing, dad said I could do that. I didn't know mom said that, you know, and they'll play you off of one another. And so when you're together and it's like, no, I know what mom would say on this, that's no. And that consistency is what the kids need all along the way, and you can't put that to the side at any point.
Transitioning just a little bit to now focusing on the marriage, and while you have all of these little people needing physical, you know, physical needs and taking away your sleep and all of that, how did you guys prioritize one another in this season?
You know, you make time for what's important to you, either consciously or subconsciously. You know, if you've got a sick kid, you take the time for that. Or if you've got a sick husband, family member, and so, you know, you're asking the right question. Is you know, how do you prioritize? Well, you know, you have to take time to do that. And for us, you know, when we were first married, you know, life is pretty easy, right? You know, there's no kids running around. You pretty much can have free time to do whatever you want to do. We used to play soccer together.
She's like, we did.
It's been a long time.
She's like, we did, though.
Remember the yellow shorts and the tan legs.
So, but you know, as we started having kids, you know, we would try to get away once or twice a year, just even overnight.
And we're talking like one night, like
yeah, just
24
one night,
hours. Yeah. Because I mean, when they were little, and I mean, we ended up having 3 and 5 years. I mean, our parents didn't even always want to take all three at the same time. So you know, we were just realistic. And but one night, I mean, just 24 hours can make like a huge difference. So.
And there's I see this group here, and you know, you guys are really doing life together as part of this. You know, it doesn't have to be expensive. I mean, you can ditch your kids with your friend, right, for a night, even if you stay at home for a night without the kids there. So there's you know, clever ways to make that happen, but really dedicating time to your relationship. You know, thriving marriages really have three types of love. You know, they have the agape love, that's talked about in the Bible, which is the self-sacrificing love, and that's not a 50-50. That's a 100-100, you know, for each of the couples. There also is the philia love, or the Philadelphia love, the friendship kind of love. And that's really important to, you know, she's my best friend. You know, we like hanging out together. We like doing stuff together. And then, you know, there's the eros love, or the physical, the sensual love. And, you know, all three of those in some type of balance are really important for a relationship. I mean, that's when God created marriage, and the two become one flesh, I mean, that's all three of those loves are really important to having that one flesh. And so taking time to focus on your relationship with your spouse will reap tons of benefits with your kids, more than just your individual relationships with your kids. If that's, you know, I think that's really important to understand. Your relationship with your husbands is more important to foster than your individual relationship with your kids.
Yeah, you gotta have the long game in mind. I mean, you know, you think about that all the time. I'm sure even you guys are holding little ones, thinking about like when they're 5 and when they're 7 and when they're 12 and then when they're 18 or whatever it would be. But you're going to be with your husband, and hopefully that's the way God's designed it for the rest of your life. I mean, you know, your kids will grow up. They will not need you at some point in time like they need you now. I know it's hard to believe, but your husband is supposed to be your best friend and your confidant.
That takes
and,
work.
Yeah, and it takes work.
I remember thinking at your stage, you know, I wanted to be married like 30, 40 years, but I wanted to be happily, like, I didn't want to just be married. I wanted to be glad I was still married to him. And that just, you know, you can't only focus on the kids or not focus on your marriage. Mm-hmm. And then what's going to happen is you wake up and they're teenagers and you, like, you won't even enjoy being together. And I didn't want that.
Right.
So,
and I would say there's cycles. I mean, when your kids were little, I mean, hopefully you have some type of a schedule when you get going along, and you know they go to bed earlier, you know what I mean, and then so that's when you kind of connect after they're in bed, and he knew how it was important to have things tidy up, and we put all the little people back in the house in the car because that's really important to me, and you know all those kind of things that make them in the morning and they take it all out, but you know what I'm saying, like that was the important, and then as they get going along, then they start to stay up later, right? Okay, when they're, you know, in the later elementary and the teenage year. So then we're up early because they're sleeping in. So that's when you're talking, you know. And, you know, now that we're, you know, both going with work, we do most of our connecting, talking, reading through the Bible together, it's all in the morning, you know what I mean, before we start our day. And so, you know, your relationship does change and morph over time depending on when you can, you know, practically have that happen with your kids, you know. It's hard to have a good conversation. Oh, we were going to talk about this too. The importance of sitting at dinner table together. That is important.
I would say,
yeah.
You as moms and wives, it is so important for your family to eat dinner together, and it will not happen if y'all don't prioritize it. So, it's just, I just can't, it's up to you.
I agree.
You have to make it a priority. So, and I know at this age, you know, you might have to cheat, but you start moving towards that, and it just has to be a priority or else it won't happen.
Right.
So,
and I think we were talking about this. I mean, y'all are like the age of our kids. And so seeing you guys with all your kids is, you know, what our kids are doing. And so it's really been fun to be able to walk alongside them and encourage them for the things we're just telling you right now. And even when they come to our house, we're trying to help model it again, because, you know, I'm just thinking about, you know, we all should sit down together and this is when we pray and this is how you pray. And so we're trying to encourage our kids, because it is a lot easier to just feed the littles, you're at that high chair, all this kind of stuff, and then mom and dad will just eat afterwards or whatever. I mean, you know, I just want to encourage you, because that is also how you connect together, even as husband and wife together, that you're going to start this is how our family does, you know, works together, to pray together and to learn how to have conversations at the dinner table about what we did today, tell dad what you did and how you had that and you found that rock and you know, or whatever it was, now you went down that big slide, you know, whatever. Those are the kinds of things to help to engage dad into what happened during the day too.
And what I remember of our, you know, when I would come home and my son was standing at the door every day waiting for me to come home, looking out the door.
And so was I.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But I would come in every, you know, and I would say, okay, but, you know, I'd take him and we'd go out to the park and he would go slide, I'd push him on the swing, whatever, for a good 45 minutes or whatever, an hour. Just to give her the time to be able to breathe again, to think about, you know, what the rest of the day looks like, and be able to prepare things. And it's like, And I loved it. I mean, that to me is one of the sweetest times that I got to spend with them, because it was like, it wasn't mom saying, hey, you're swinging too high. You know, hey, slow it down on the slide there. It's like, no, we're going. We're all in, baby. And it just gave her such a, you know, at the end of the day, the ability to just get herself back together again and feel that. And then we'd finish dinner and get them off to the tub, you know, and all that, and together. And, you know, it's the whole together part that really makes the huge difference. So
sounds like a lot of intentionality and conversations, and it changes in the stages. So, you know, I even, there's some of the moms here tonight who left multiples for the first time, and I know how stressful that was, even for me, being like, you got this, honey, you can take two, you can take three,
turn off your
we're gonna survive. But I am proud of you moms that are doing that, because I know it's a big deal, and you're here and you get to be present in this, which is sweet. And another thing that is very important and things you need to be present for is intimacy. And you know what, Diana, we talked the other week, and we were just, you know, passing conversations on a Sunday morning, and she was like, schedule it. And she's being dead serious. And I was like, I wish someone would have told me that before. And so maybe you don't have to just speak about scheduling intimacy, but we're gonna allow the wardens to maybe take this one on.
Well, I would say that, preparing for sexual intimacy starts at the beginning of the day. And, you know, I think, you know, for us, I would say to him, you know, or he would, you know, say, hey, if you want to have sex tonight, tell me now, okay? I got to prepare. I got to shower.
She didn't really want to know.
Like, I just need to know, because for me, I couldn't pivot on a dime. Like, you know, I'm going in this night, and the kids get, you know, you go in and get the bed top, and then that, and we're putting the cars back in the car, and you know, and then throwing some laundry in, and then, whatever. Oh, like, what? You want to have sex? The funny thing is they want to have sex all the time. So, like, why am I surprised?
That's a good question.
But anyways, it was very helpful, because I didn't want to, because this would be a struggle with us, because I would react. My initial reaction is like, I mean, and that's not encouraging. Otherwise, like, okay, fine. All right, give me a minute.
Yeah,
you speak.
Well, yeah, you know, I have to confess to you that I'm somewhat of a professional at this, because I had to teach 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade
sex education.
And then to school. So I don't, you know.
What do you want to know?
But just the. It is going to be a struggle. It is a struggle. There's no getting around it. And there, you know, your spouse has to know that you love them, you respect them, you want to have that intimacy with them. And if not, it just drives a wedge between you. And, you know, we get to do premarital counseling, which I looked around, make sure nobody's here. But you have to have some of those conversations earlier, and really what is realistic, right? Because there's no sense in coming up with a plan that this isn't gonna work. You know, that she's dead tired, I'm dead tired, I would, whatever it is. And you have to just have those conversations, and also be gracious about things. And it's like, I know you've had a bad day. Mm-hmm. It's fine. It's all right. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll just sit here on the couch together, mm-hmm. and whatever.
I mean, because sometimes, I mean, you've been touched all day, okay? And so then you like
do you want to be touched again? I don't think so. But he's like, oh, geez, thanks. I'm sorry. I'm kind of real. But anyway, but for me, I'm depleted. That depletes me more, or it feels like I have to give more because I gave all day. But for him, that's how he gets filled up, right? So God made us different that way. And that's also, too, why you have to have good communication. And you need to work on other things besides even just the act of having sex together. You need to be playful with one another. You need to be friends. You need to be, you know, affectionate. And those other things that kind of keep your relationship in a warm and loving way towards one another, and how you talk with one another, because it's really easy to just talk short to one another. Mm-hmm. And so it really is a whole, like, you're fertilizing the relationship, mm-hmm. right? Okay, and yes, you want to have sex with your husband. And I will tell you, it gets better, okay? It gets better the older you get. And when the kids are not around. And
I wasn't allowed to answer that.
And if it was the best when you first got married, you have like 50, 70 years together, that's going to really be boring if it starts out the best and it goes down. You don't want it to get better.
She's on a tangent now.
No, that was very
good. But I will say, scheduling it has really been a big thing for us. And I think, you know, it might sound really rude, but we know these are the days we're going to have sex. Or at least, you know, it's helpful. And then nothing else comes in that way. So, and I'm ready.
It doesn't stop us from trying.
You make time for what's important.
Yes.
Thanks for helping me out there.
That's an important part of the relationship. Yes.
I think about when you walk in or are greeted when you've gotten home from work, or, and I know some of you guys had different experiences with going back to work or that kind of exchange. I know in my own life, JJ always gives me a kiss first, and then Piper actually expects the kiss as well. She thinks that's normal, which I actually love. I'm like, yeah, take a kiss from Dad. You can have it. But just that importance, I know that really matters. And so kind of moving into this next part of how did you show appreciation and encourage one another in your roles and responsibilities? So the work versus homemaker, and also a working mom at different seasons.
Well, I'll start. So Diana spent a lot of time here in children's ministries, and before that she was the nursery coordinator. And I so appreciated the fact that she was willing to go to work, and that she was willing to, you know, it was a part-time gig or whatever. But it gave me the opportunity then to just be with the kids by myself and to do different things. I it's probably not politically correct, but I would have a game with my kids where we had a Nerf bow and arrow, and I would chase them around the house and shoot them with the bow and arrow, and the kids loved it, and they'll still talk about it now. And it's like, remember, Dad, when you used to, yeah, I remember, I play hide and seek, you guys could never find me. But these kids there's something wrong with them. But it just, the opportunity then to let her just go and focus on what she had to do. There was a lot of times where, like Easter or vacation Bible school time was just crazy. And I might take the kids and go to my parents or something like that, just so she could just focus on what she, and I know she appreciated that, and I appreciated her sacrifices when I had to go out of town and things like that. But you are a team, and that's the way it works.
Yeah, I've been saying team, and that's good communication too, about, you know, what the week looks like. Maybe you start on the weekend and you talk about what the week ahead is supposed to look like, what's on the schedule, what do we need help with, when do I need to do this, when do you need to do that, and you know, saying what you need help with for the week ahead or the month ahead, you know, looking at it, whether you're working or it's just life.
That's pretty nice.
this still happens, every week I ask what am I supposed to do for the week? She really keeps the calendar, and it's important for me to understand, what's coming up and be ready for that. But, from an appreciation standpoint, which I think was part of the question, right? Saying thank you, I know is kind of simple and it seems like common sense, but in the heat of the moment, a lot of times you take for granted what always happens. And so, one of the things that Beth does besides just saying thank you is, she will say thank you for certain things. This happened just a couple of weeks ago. On a Saturday, I had to run an errand out to Warrenton, and it's a Saturday morning. I didn't really want to do it, but I went ahead and did it. And when I was out there, I got the errand taken care of, and I texted her and said, "Hey, I'm on my way back. It's all done." And she responded with a text that said, "Thank you for doing this errand, but also for taking care of our family and taking care of this." And so, it's in some sense, it's expanding on just the thank you to say, this is important to me because of these things. That can go, a long way to encouraging, your husband or your husband the other way. If you model that for them, maybe they'll do it for you too. Sometimes we get stuff.
Not often, but
we can be trained.
But yeah, Dave was talking about that. A lot of you know that I really like to cook, and I've already told you how passionate I am about families eating dinner together, and that was something Dave was good at, and he also trained the kids to do too, is to show appreciation for that I made dinner. So.
We do in our premarital mentoring, one of the things we do each time we meet with them is to talk about, say, words of affirmation, things that they appreciate. What do you appreciate about the person? And to say in front of another person is kind of a little bit daunting at first. It feels very intimate, but that's the point, is you're trying to grow intimacy with the other couple as you share along the way. And it's always very sweet for us because we start to model it, to them and show them this is how you do it, to say specifically a word, this is what I appreciate about you, about your character or something, an act of kindness that you did. And we don't usually share it with each other because we want to kind of be genuine when we say it. But it means a lot. I agree with what you're saying. Say those specific words about what it is.
Bethany models well. It was just her birthday recently, and I was thinking about all the things over the years that I've gotten to witness and I'm so thankful for. But something that I always tell JJ, I'm always struck by, I'm like, she's the head of women's ministry for this entire church. There are literally thousands of women who she oversees in some capacity, and her prayer request is always that she can support Dave. How can I better support Dave? And I think it's always so humbling for me to sit there, because I can, and I'm sure you guys will feel this in your, man, this was a Monday, and I didn't get a whole meal, and I never finished a coffee, and we will one day finish a coffee and things like that. But just thinking of, the women I look up to and the mentors here, they're just consciously thinking, how can I better serve my husband? And I think, well, I know that the men are joking that they can be taught, us loving them so well, it encourages that relationship and that fondness of each other, and those intimacy things get to grow in such a unique way. And since we are running just low on time, I did want to really touch on this one, because I know there's some folks here who have extended time apart from their spouses, and you guys have experienced that. So just what does that look like, and how do you support each other when you do have extended time apart?
Yeah, so Dave, Dave's job, he travels a lot. So I think his job is just demanding. So I always joke that if Dave works a 40-hour week, that means he took a day off. So, but he did travel a lot, and I think I remember when he started traveling overseas for an extended period of times. Dear was 15 months. I had a 15-month-old with a 3-year-old and a 6-year-old, and he was gone for 2 weeks overseas and home, and 2 weeks overseas. So that was just the beginning. And yeah, he was gone sometimes like far, far away. So that was challenging. So for communication, that was a challenge.
We did try to communicate really every day, and you know, it can be done. You know, you work around the schedules. I mean, sometimes I was in a 15-hour time difference, and so my morning would be her evening, and we would just figure out when was the right time to do that. Trying to communicate every day and making that a priority was really helpful for us when we were away, because then I could keep up with everything that was going on also. And you know, some of our best stories are everything always happened when I was gone. And we still hear about those stories. You ask my daughters, they'll tell you some of those stories. But being able to schedule time together to communicate regularly while you're gone, and not just leave big days and days of open hole. And even when I was working in the closed areas and things, you know, I would come out and schedule time to speak with her. I used to schedule conference calls with the kids, you know, to, you know, make sure they were important also. And, you know, that can be done. And it kind of made them feel special too. Oh, this is dad time now. And so that's one of the things that we tried to do when we were apart. So, and then making sure we had time together when, you know, when I did come home.
And that was one thing I appreciated. You know, our life didn't look like others because, you know, he was gone a lot and traveled a lot. And so, but I did feel like we were real with priorities. So, you know, honestly, he chose not to do a lot of recreational kind of things, like, you know, that would be fine for somebody else to do. But, you know, if he's gone a lot, then he's not going to spend, you know, the time that he is home, you know, playing on a soccer team or, you know, whatever, you know. So I really appreciated that about him. And, you know, that spoke, you know, that we were a priority. But the other thing I will tell you, as far as for me, I did have to have an attitude adjustment when that all started. You know, it was hard. So I could be like mad about it, but I realized pretty quickly I didn't want to be the wife he didn't want to come home to. So I wanted to be the wife and have the home that he wanted to come home to. And so I had to, you know, refocus and realize that this was the job he had given Dave to do. This is the way he was providing for our family. You know, we really felt like this is what we were called to do. And there might be circumstances where, you know, if you had like, you know, we might have made a career change if we had like, you know, something come up is like that made it like, okay, that's not going to work for our family. But we felt like this is what we could do, and God called. So I really needed to have an attitude adjustment as to this is how God is providing for our family, and I want to support him. And I was thinking about that, and then just today I was looking, Michael Easley is one of our former pastors here and a good friend of ours, and he had posted something on his Instagram, and I thought it spoke to me, and I think it speaks to this, and it says, we all have to make a choice in the face of God's plan for our lives. Will we grumble at the God of the universe or choose to be humble servants in his sight? And so I think a lot of times that's what we have to do as, you know, wives, mothers, you know, am I going to grumble and be mad at God's plan for our life and our family? Because we've got like, what, 50 something women in here, and we've got 50 something plans. Or am I gonna, you know, choose to be a humble servant to God and to my family?
So that we do have time for prayer at our tables. I just asked Mark and Dave to close us in prayer tonight and encourage us all. Thank you all four for sharing and gave us lots to think about. I know there are lots of jokes, which is part of marriage, and I'm thankful for that, but also some very very raw and real things, and I know I always leave here and I have 5,000 things to tell JJ, and he's usually exhausted, so I should wait and honor him and do that tomorrow morning. But thank you all for being here, and then if you guys would close us in prayer.
Dear me, Father, we do thank you, Lord, for your love for us that we don't deserve, Lord, that you sent your Son to die on the cross for us, Lord, that you gave us a life filled with purpose. And that, we thank you for the opportunity for these young women to have children that you've blessed them with. And Lord, we know that it is a blessing. You've told us over and over. And we thank you, Lord, for that blessing. And sometimes it's difficult. We know that that this is a fallen world, that that our children need you. And Lord, we pray that we would be the parents that are going to encourage them in their walk with you, that we would teach them early and often about who you are and, Lord, what you've done for us. Lord, we thank you for that opportunity. We know that that's our greatest mission field. We pray that you would be with these families as they continue to grow, and just, Lord, that you would bless them in their love for one another, their service to their spouse, and Lord, just the goodness that you've given to us, Lord. We pray that we would live lives that are pleasing to you and worthy of the calling that you've placed on us.
Father, I want to echo Mark's prayer and really lift up each and every marriage that's represented here in this room. Pray for your grace in each of our lives, and as we give grace to our spouses, Father, I pray that we would seek your wisdom and your guidance as we interact together humbly before you. Thank you for these children that are represented in this room too, so many of them, and we pray for endurance. The raising of these young people. And Father, ultimately, we pray for their salvation. We pray that they would be drawn to you, that they would hear the gospel in their homes, here at church, and that you would ultimately draw them to you to saving faith in Jesus. Thank you for this time. I just pray that, you know, the things that we were able to talk about and laugh about here this evening would be edifying and helpful to each of these couples. I pray that the wives that are here would be able to communicate well with their husbands. They give grace, but also communicate well the things that would make their marriages stronger. And we're going to ask you for guidance and help on all of that. We just pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.